Welcome to Dad's Wild Podcast, the podcast that explores the amazing natural world that surrounds us and astounds us. I'm your MC, Dustin Bean, and our hosts, Susan Altrui and Joy Matlock, will share insights and mind-blowing facts that will leave you saying, "That's wild." It's all about inspiring you, the listener, to value and conserve our natural world. That's Wild is brought to you by the Arkansas Zoological Foundation and produced by the Little Rock Zoo. So with that, let's get wild.
Welcome to That's Wild. It's the podcast where we explore all the amazing things in our natural world. I'm your host, Susan Altrui, director of the Little Rock Zoo, and I am joined by my always amazing co-host and new NBC correspondent, Joy Matlock.
Well, Susan, you didn't have to reveal my secret, but thank you that you did. Yes, we had the Today Show at the Little Rock
Zoo. That's
right,
we did.
Last week in the month of April. It was wonderful. We were celebrating the birth of our new baby boy, Gorilla.
Yeah.
He's healthy. He's strong. He's about 7 weeks now.
Uh-huh.
He's doing all the things that he should be doing at 7 weeks old. He's very strong. He's got a lot of upper body strength, his keepers say.
And you got to do the reveal.
I got to do the reveal.
How much fun was that?
Oh my God. So, lifelong dream. Yeah, I have watched the Today Show. I'm not going to say how long, but it's been long enough that if I said certain names on the show, people would know it's been a long time. But that aside, I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
And so when they called some emails at first, and I didn't really believe it was the Today Show until I got on the phone with them. I was like, oh, this is really them.
This is really happening.
Yeah. So it was a great, great moment for our zoo.
To shine
a light on the zoo and on gorilla conservation.
Yes. But I love that they talked about gorilla conservation too, which is wonderful.
We were able to talk about ways that people, you know, by recycling their cell phones, by just being good stewards of the earth, how we can help our gorilla friends. But and then personally, I got to talk to Al and Carson Daly.
Oh my
interviewed
gosh,
me.
It was
good times. It's good. It was worth getting up at 3:30 in the morning.
I was so happy for you. So I, when Joy first found out about the opportunity, I was looking at my phone and I had this message and it said, like, you have got to call me right now, 911 emergency. And I'm thinking, like, the zoo's on fire or something. So I pick up the phone and I call Joy. She's like, oh my gosh, are you sitting down? I was like, okay, what's going on? She's like, oh, the Today Show called and they want us to. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's hilarious. And congratulations. Because I know how much she loves the Today Show. And I was like, you have to do this interview because I know that you really want this.
Well, so I'm sorry if I made you stressed out by my text message.
Oh, like 2 seconds I was like, so what's going on here? But no, it was great.
Yeah.
It was great.
And it was great time for the zoo.
Wonderful. So happy about that. Yes. And so happy about our new baby gorilla. But back to our episode today.
Sure.
So speaking of things on the menu, what's on the menu today?
What's
Joy?
On the menu today? So we're talking about one of the most important parts of survival, finding food.
Okay.
And I can attest to that.
Oh,
finding food is very important to all living things.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's foraging for berries or hunting prey, animals have incredible strategies to find food.
Yeah.
But what happens when their food sources disappear? Mm. That's something we're going to talk about today.
That is something. Now, I know that you like finding food because you're always finding snacks at the Little Rock Zoo.
I'm sorry. I am hungry a lot.
You know, no shame in that game, Joy. I understand it. We found some snacks here.
We did.
Before our show today, someone had a beautiful sourdough bread that we indulged in.
One of our producers is...
Chef's kiss.
She is talented.
Ooh, yes,
so thank,
talented.
Shout out to Missy.
Yeah, shout out to that for bringing snacks to us. Mm-hmm. We like snacks.
Oh, yeah.
Snacks.
I mean,
so.
I'm not going to lie.
Noted. Yeah. But back to our episode and back to conservation, which is why we're here, to talk about conservation, where conservation comes in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, protecting habitats, it means protecting food sources, just like I like to protect my food source. I know you do, too. But that's what's key to survival, right?
Sure.
It's key to our survival.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're very excited. Hannah's going to be joining us again today. We love having Hannah, and she's bringing a little bit of a slithering friend for us to talk to today.
I can't wait to see who
and to learn more about that conservation message.
That's
so
awesome.
We're excited about that. So let's bring it on and learn more about the role of the food chain.
I can't wait to see who this guest will be.
Not this guest.
This guest.
Well, let's start with some of the basics. So animals have two main ways of getting food, foraging and hunting. And some search for plants, fruits, or insects. Others track and capture prey. And here in Arkansas, we have a little bit of everything when it comes to the Animal Kingdom.
Right, like black bears, one of Arkansas's native species.
Oh,
in fact, did you know that Arkansas was actually called the Bear State at one time?
You know, I've heard that, yes.
We had a lot of bears. Yeah. And black bears are opportunistic eaters.
Okay.
I think somebody else on this show has said that they were an opportunistic eater.
Yeah.
I might ask her about that later.
Yeah.
But anyway, but that means that they'll forage for berries, for nuts, and they'll even scavenge for food.
Okay.
But they'll also hunt small animals as well.
Yeah.
So they, whatever's available.
Whatever's available, that's what that means if you're an opportunistic
eater. Yes,
they're
gonna eat that.
Got it. That's very interesting. That's wild. Love that.
And
love that.
And what about river otters?
Yeah. So river otters, you know, an animal like a river otter, they are expert fishers, which I think is really, really interesting. Mm-hmm. They dive, they chase, and they catch fish with ease.
Mm-hmm.
They're really great at it. And let's also not forget birds of prey, like the red-tailed hawk. You know, they've got those really sharp talons.
Right.
You know, we've had some guests here before on our show that we've seen with Hannah, those talons, when you see those up close.
Right.
Woo!
It's impressive.
I mean, those are impressive.
That's impressive.
But they are perfect for catching prey like rodents.
Mm-hmm. Every animal has its unique strategy.
Yes.
But what happens when their food sources are threatened? Mm. And that's where things get tricky.
Yes, it definitely gets tricky. And, you know, that's really where we come into play, because we can do a lot to help our environment and to help their environment, which helps their food sources. And that's what's so, so important.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, finding food isn't just about skill. It's about having the right environment. If habitats are destroyed, food sources disappear, and animals really struggle to survive.
Exactly. Wetlands, forests, and rivers aren't just beautiful landscapes. Mm. They're grocery stores, really, for wildlife. That's where they get their food.
I love that term, the grocery store for wildlife.
Yeah.
That's a great term, Joy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when we seek out to protect these areas, we protect the animals who rely on them.
Yes, that's absolutely right. And when the food source disappears, it affects the entire ecosystem. Let's talk a little bit about the box turtle. I'm actually a huge fan of turtles.
Mm-hmm.
I think they are so cute, so adorable, also native to Arkansas You can see them a lot of times, just especially now in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're often crossing roads, so that's another way that you can really help out animals. If you see one crossing the road, you can be a friend to a turtle, stop, and you can very safely stop. And then whatever path it's going, you know, you can help it along its way by trying to get it out of the road. But that's something that we always try to do, is to be friends to turtles, because turtles are just a very important part of our ecosystem. But turtles, Arkansas turtles, they eat insects, berries, mushrooms. But if the forest gets cleared and if that's not available, you know, those food sources vanish, and then turtles have a hard time surviving.
That's true. And let's not forget pollinators like bats. They help spread seeds and pollinate plants with their digestive system, and that helps keep food sources available for other animals. So they have a part to play in the ecosystem as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And conservation isn't just about saving animals. It's about keeping nature's pantry stocked.
Keep that grocery store going. Fair.
Yep. I love that. I think that's really good. You know, another thing too that Hannah reminded me of when I was talking with her is penguins. You know, overfishing is a problem for penguins. And that food source, when it starts to vanish, it can be really, really problematic for penguins.
Mm-hmm. And that's why there's an app, and I think Hannah will mention it for us later, that will talk to you about where you can get sustainably sourced fish.
Yes.
So that it doesn't have a huge impact on the ecosystem.
And so it's a great way for you to have your own impact, is to look at those ways to have a sustainably sourced fish, and do something that you can do to impact it. We'll talk to Hannah more about that.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Hannah, let's bring her on with our special guest.
I am excited to have her on again.
Yes, let's bring Hannah on. Well, Hannah, welcome back, and welcome again to That's Wild. And tell us a little bit about who our guest is here today.
This is my main squeeze. Gonna do it every time. Okay, I have to give one of our interns full credit for that joke. That was not my joke.
Gotcha.
This is Monty. Mm-hmm. Monty is a ball python, and Monty is 24 years old. Ball pythons are native to Africa. That beautiful coloration is camouflage.
Mm-hmm.
They are ambush predators. And I told you I would talk about why they're so beautiful. This is not why they're beautiful. This is a side effect of them being beautiful.
Okay.
They're also called royal pythons because ancient royalty in Africa would wear them as jewelry, kind of like I'm doing right now. Just not on purpose.
I like your bracelet.
Yeah, thank you. It's a very heavy bracelet.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they go by many names, and they are ambush predators. So they've got a bunch of really cool adaptations for catching their food. So, for example, imagine, if you will, you're walking with your friends at night, you're going down a street looking for a food truck, and you see a glowing cheeseburger. How convenient would that be?
Glowing cheeseburger.
So these have heat-sensing pips. You can actually see them if you look really close. See those holes at the top of his jaw?
Yes.
Those are... very fancy name. They're called pit organs.
Okay.
That's all they're called.
A pit organ.
So they help them see in infrared, so they can actually see prey. That's an adaptation for being nocturnal. Mm-hmm. There are other snakes that have that too, pit vipers. That's why they get the name pit viper.
Yeah.
And then some boas and pythons. So that is how they locate their food. They don't go out and chase prey. So they're sitting and waiting for it to come by, and then... Monty is going to grab it with his, he's got back curved teeth, so he actually can hold on.
Wow.
So the animal, this is where we get a little intimidating sounding. Monty is a big sweetheart, but a very efficient predator.
Yeah.
So they grab onto their prey with their back curved teeth, they wrap their body around, and then they squeeze really hard.
Wow.
So that is how they kill their prey. That's why they're called constrictors, which means Monty's completely non-venomous. So that is how they pursue and... I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? I just capture their prey.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is he constricting you right now?
So he's holding on. He's not constricting.
Okay.
The thing is, they're extremely strong. Like, this is a solid muscle, basically.
Yeah. Yes.
So they hold on so that, you know, they don't want to feel dropped. I'm kind of like a tree branch right now.
Yeah.
So we're hanging on, not squeezing. Mm-hmm. But if he was squeezing, it would be pretty hard for me to get him off. They're very, very strong.
Wow.
So the way I'm going to have to put Monty back in his carrier today is I'm going to have to just lay my arm down and let him crawl in because they are too strong for me to take
unwrap.
Off.
Oh, wow. I see.
So he'll just have to say, okay, I'm done, and crawl on
totally
off.
Up to you.
Yeah.
You just saw a tongue flick. I don't know if you know.
I did.
I just saw it, too.
So they have forked tongues that are split at the end so that they can sense which direction prey is.
Mm.
Very cool. That's the reason that they're forked.
So they're kind of testing the air to see what's out there.
Yep. It's kind of like they're tasting the air and then putting it on an organ that tells them which direction the prey is.
That's amazing.
Wow, that's fascinating.
That's amazing.
That's wild.
And then you know how they don't chew, right? So they swallow their prey whole.
Mm-hmm.
They can bite, wrap their body around, and then they can stretch their jaws really, really wide so that they swallow prey whole. They have a special organ called a glottis at the bottom of their mouth. I don't know if you guys know this.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a snorkel. So when their mouth is full of food, they have to be able to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
So they have that special organ to help them breathe.
So that will the organ will pop out of the mouth?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yep. It's like a little snorkel.
That's amazing.
Or your mouth's full of food. How convenient would that be?
You could eat nonstop.
Joy said she needs a snorkel so she can just keep eating.
His skin, for our people who are listening, he's like this dark chocolate brown and then like this light cocoa brown and all his little patches are kind of outlined with a little bit of white. He's really, really beautiful.
Beautiful animal.
He's pretty, and it's all camouflage again, ambush predators. We have a Burmese python at the zoo, so not the same species, but similar looking, except for size, much bigger. And I had a guest the other day look all over that enclosure and say, I've never seen the snake. Does he ever come out? And he was laying right there.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
This goes to show you have to look really close sometimes in some of these habitats to find the animal because they're very good at hiding. That's what they do.
And if their habitat's naturalistic, which that's what we shoot for, they're going to be able to use that natural environment to do what they would normally do,
which is
blend in and hide.
So tell us a little bit about their environment and why it's so important to protect their environment.
So snakes aren't everybody's favorite animal. Luckily, we love snakes. We know that they do a great thing for us.
They do.
So even if you don't love snakes, which I understand, I ask people, you know, just leave them alone. Every animal has its role to play. These are great for pest control.
Mm-hmm.
So rats and mice are really cute. We had a precious rat on another episode.
Mm-hmm.
But they carry disease. They destroy crops. We don't need too many rats. We actually don't need too much of anything. So without predators like snakes to keep that population down, we could be overrun with pests like that. So very, very important to the environment.
And is it possible that we could have habitat destruction that would be bad for Monty? What can we do to save his habitat?
So every animal relies on their habitat for many different reasons. In fact, these are not... They're very common in the pet trade. I'm sure you've seen these in pet stores. Mm-hmm. I actually just found out when I was researching for this episode that they're near threatened. So they are not least concern, according to the IUCN.
Yeah.
That doesn't totally have to do with habitat loss, but that's a big reason that most animals are losing their population numbers is because humans are encroaching on their habitat. Mm-hmm. So we have to figure out a way to live with snakes peacefully, which is hard to ask people to do sometimes.
And I think once people understand how they... help the ecosystem and how they help, like you were talking about, rodent population. Hopefully the message will, you know, come around to respect them and appreciate what they do for us.
Right. Even venomous snakes. So, you know, I'm a fan of all snakes, venomous or not. But I do get lots of questions about, you know, what good is a venomous snake? Not only are they doing pest control, but did you both know they're actually doing a lot of research with snake venom for medical reasons for humans?
Oh, wow.
So they're using venom in things like blood pressure medicine because there are, you know, there are medicines that affect your blood. There are venoms that affect your blood. Mm-hmm. They're also doing diabetes medicine and pain medicine, all based on snake venoms. They're actually even looking at cancer research with specific snakes.
That is amazing.
So they do all have their role to play.
Wow.
And the thing about venom is that evolved as part of a co-evolutionary arms race. So it had nothing to do with hurting people. Mm-hmm. It's actually defense isn't the primary reason for venom. It's all for catching prey. So even though they can be very dangerous to humans, I don't want to downplay that.
Sure.
You definitely should leave a snake alone if you don't know what it is.
Yep.
That's not why they have venom. It's not to hurt us. It's just to catch their food.
I see. So you said he was 24. Is that a normal age for?
This is an old guy.
He's an old guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
20s to 30s, which is something I'm glad you brought that up. It's something very good to know. If you do want a snake as a pet, you have got to do a lot of research. Pet trade is a reason that a lot of them are in trouble in the wild. And also... this is a huge commitment. The snake has been at the zoo since when? It's as long as you've been.
I've been there 20 years, and since I've been there, he's been my buddy for a long time.
Yeah, so they're a very long-term commitment. Yep. So definitely do your research.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize how long they live, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were talking about how we as humans can do things to help their environment and that will protect their food sources. And we mentioned earlier about sustainably eating fish. And what's the name of the app?
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. Seafood Watch. That was developed by Monterey Bay Aquarium. They are amazing when it comes to ocean conservation. They developed this app, so you just download it on your phone, and I believe you scan the barcode.
You can scan, or you can just enter it in.
Yep, and it'll tell you if that seafood was sustainably caught or not.
Gotcha.
And it also gives you suggestions. So if there's something like one type of fish you like, and then... maybe it'll give you suggestions of other types of fish or a substitution.
Yeah.
It's a really great app.
It really is, and it's really easy to use.
And very educational, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I love talking about animals, and I love talking about food. I'm so glad we can do
that.
That's
the most
favorite thing.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Hannah,
thanks
for bringing
Molly
on the show.
Yeah. A perfect angel.
He is.
So good.
I might take him home.
Oh,
do your research.
I'm going to do my research first.
We'll probably keep money at the zoo.
Thank you, Hannah.
Thanks, Hannah. Well, Joy, what a wild episode. We just learned off camera a few little interesting facts about Monty, who is actually Montica. Turns out they found out in 2020 that who they thought was a male is a female, which I think is fascinating.
Yes,
that
it is.
Monty laid an egg in 2020.
Monty laid an egg. So
after many years
of
thinking it was a male, turns out to be a female, which does happen in the zoo world. Every once in a while, we find out that something that we thought was one gender turns out to be another gender, another sex. So it happens. Mm-hmm. It happens. So
interesting.
It does happen. So
it was wonderful to meet Monty, Montica. it was always great to have Hannah and to teach us things, even things that I'm learning as she's speaking.
Yes.
Even though I feel like I've heard all of her different speeches before, but I'm always glad to know and learn new things.
Always learn something new from Hannah every single time. We've learned how animals hunt and forage and also why conservation is so incredibly, incredibly important to their survival.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. So thank you to Hannah for coming out and teaching us more about snakes and ecosystems and how we can protect them and how we can make sure that we are taking care of their habitats and what we do every day and how that impacts our natural world.
Yes, absolutely. And don't forget, you can come and see these amazing animals at the Little Rock Zoo or any accredited zoo that's near you. And until next time,
stay wild.